to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of science fiction. Later on, a story from X-1 from 1957, but right now, the Robert Heinlein tale, Destination Moon, adapted on Dimension X. This first heard on NBC on June 24th, 1950.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense. Dreamed of conquering the barrier of the atmosphere. The problem is on the drawing boards of aeronautical engineers and atomic physicists. They can calculate the power needed, the trajectories, and the equipment. On the sound stages of Hollywood, the engineers and special effects men have combined to bring that day to life, the day when the first rocket leaves Earth for outer space. Now, a radio play taken from the advanced screenplay of the George Parel Technicolor production, Destination Moon. On the vast concrete strip at Dry Wells, Texas, the form of the rocket towers above the cranes, the loading machinery, and the scuttling trucks and jeeps. The fuel lines snake across the concrete to the rocket. Its destination, Moon. A small pursuit plane circles in for a landing on the runway, turns and taxis toward the prefab buildings at the edge of the strip.
Here comes General Thayer. Got those reports, Dr. Cargrave?
Already, Barnes.
We made good time. Hi there, General. Over here.
Barnes, I've got to talk to you.
Now, you just made it, General. Everything's running smooth as a clock. We ground test in 20 minutes.
Come on over to the office.
What's the matter?
Come on, Barnes.
Something happened in Washington?
Something always happens in Washington.
Well, let's have it straight, General.
Our application for a test license was denied.
Denied?
I'll quote. In the opinion of the commission, should the engine fail structurally, the dispersal of radioactive material would mean danger to the surrounding area.
But we've evacuated the blast
no
area.
No use, Barnes. The mission is pretty sensitive about public opinion. The Galavan newspaper chain has been after our scalp. They got mine anyway.
What do you mean?
I've been retired.
Retired?
You got a job for an ex-general? Pretty handy with a lug wrench.
They can't do that. Where would the Air Force be if you hadn't kicked them into using the Jespool jet engine on pursuits?
It's not as simple as all that. One star generals can't go into the Department of Defense and pound desks. I did.
Some of those old mossbacks would still be using horse cavalry if they could get away with it. Now, this ship will work. I know. I built it.
I don't suppose we'll ever know. The mission won't reverse itself.
Wait a minute. Cargrave, ship's all ready, isn't it?
Except for minor installations, yes.
General, I've been building and flying ships by the seat of my pants since they had piano wire between the wings. Now, this baby either works the first time, or she doesn't.
What do you mean, Bond?
The commission refused permission to ground test, right?
Yeah.
All right. We won't ground test. Cargraves, what's the next astronomical optimum?
3:47 tomorrow morning.
We'd better get busy, then. You've got just 17 hours to get that ship ready. And then we take off for the moon.
Hey, Brownie.
What do you want, Sweeney?
What color is the skin temperature lead wire on the chart?
Orange with a black stripe.
This stuff looks like insulated macaroni. I got it.
Hurry up, will you? We're running behind.
What's your rush? You're going along on this clam bake, aren't you? Can't you wait to break your neck?
Hey, look out for the sun. Come on, move. We got to take off before somebody spots a writ on us.
Brownie, you ready going?
Sure.
Beats me. What do you want to go to the moon for?
To see what's on the other side.
Ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer. What's the separation rate positively?
Red and white spiral. Oh.
What's the matter?
I'm knocking a bellyache.
Eating green apples?
No, I'm all right. Come on, Sweeney, get busy. We've got 2 hours left to patch this mess together.
What is it, Sweeney?
It's Brown. They just took him to the hospital.
They what? Well, is he all right?
He will be after they cut out his appendix.
There goes our radio man.
But there's no chance of finding a substitute?
No, it's special equipment. Brown installed it himself. I've got it. Barnes here. What?
Well, we'll have to delay the takeoff a month.
Okay, goodbye. We can't, General. That was Hastings at Dry Wells. There's a United States Marshal driving over. Something leaked, and he's got a court order forbidding the takeoff.
We were so close.
Yeah. $1 million got the flu.
You want me to give a standby, Mr. Barnes?
I suppose. Wait a minute. Sweeney.
Yeah?
You installed that communication equipment with Brown, didn't you?
Yeah, but...
Then you must know the operation.
You could go in Brown's place.
The moon?
Oh, no, not me.
It's an important project, Sweeney. The scientific advance...
There's the military aspect, Sweeney.
I had 4 years of the military aspect, General. That's enough.
Afraid?
You're darn too.
That ship is safe.
Maybe, maybe not.
But, Sweeney...
Look, you guys aren't going to get anywhere pressuring me. Maybe you got reasons to go to the moon. You, Mr. Barnes, you got $1 million tied up in a ship. It's your scientific baby, Doc, and the General's out on a limb in Washington. What's in it for me?
And that's no way to talk, Sweeney. It's an important advance for the whole world.
You'll pardon the expression, baloney.
Sweeney.
I work on a scientific theory, too, General. Hooray for me, you look out for yourself. I ain't going.
I don't like to say this, but this isn't the time to consider yourself, Sweeney. This country's defense hangs on being the first to develop space travel.
Somebody else, not me. There's nothing I want in the moon.
All right, we'll take care of that. Sweeney, I'll offer you $10,000 bonus... and a 10% royalty on the ship patents out of my cut.
Barnes.
It's no use to me unless we get off before that marshal gets here from Dry Wells. Now, Sweeney, you'd be rich enough to retire. You could take it easy the rest of your life.
Well, now you're talking my language, Mr. Barnes. Okay. When do we leave?
Hastings.
Right. I'll be tracking you from control center. Hey, what's the car doing? He's coming right out on the field.
Marshal, Doug, General Sweeney, inside.
Hey! Hey, Barnes!
Button her up.
Hey! Hey there, commander of that ship. I've got a court order. You can't take off.
Stop, mister.
You can't do this. Hey! Hey!
Save your knuckles, fella. You couldn't get in that ship with a blowtorch.
Barnes can't do this.
Suppose you tell him all about it when he gets back from the moon.
Sweeney, warm up your communication later.
Yes, sir.
Calling traffic, Shaq.
Get a clearance check.
This is the clearance traffic. Over.
All clear. Dry Wells is ready for tracking. Over.
Power?
Power ready.
Communications?
Yeah.
Co-pilot,
automatic's ready.
Give the warning signal. Give me a time check on the computer.
03-47-58.
Stand by for count-off and firing.
Stand by for count-off and firing.
Roger.
For check. So, 48. 10.
Check.
Coming up 30 seconds.
29. 28.
I'll lie back on the acceleration
7,
couches. Worst pressures
6,
will be over in 4 minutes.
5.
Fine. General, 4. I don't like having a man along with him with it.
Between you. Too late now.
Make it pretty tough. If he's half-hearted,
we'll worry about that later.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, fire. What happened? Noise. All gone.
That speed of sound. Switch on televiewer aft.
I can't move. That pressure
switches right under your finger.
Go on. That's it.
Time. 3:50:12. Altitude 2 miles.
Get your sun goggles on. It'll be coming through in a minute. There's
the dawn line.
And the sun.
It works. This thing really works.
Now, look in the viewer. There's Earth down there.
Yeah. Time 3:51:10. Altitude 20 miles. Time
353.50. Altitude 807 miles.
That's the end of the blast. We're in free fall. Unbuckle your straps.
Hey! Hey, I'm falling! I'm falling up!
There's no gravity up here. We don't weigh anything.
I don't feel so good. I don't get down from the ceiling. I feel lousy, seasick.
No, no, space sick.
What's the difference as long as they ain't healthy?
There's a bottle of pills under the head pad. They ought to settle your stomach. I'll break out the magnetic shoes, and then we can at least keep our feet down on the floor plate. Here, Sweeney, you can put these on.
Hand them up.
All right. Here. Now you can walk down the wall. Try it.
Like this? Hey, like a human fly. You know, this is the second time I ever walked on a ceiling. Only this time I'm sober. Hey, General, would you mind tapping that ham sandwich back and float it away from me?
Feeling better, Sweeney?
I guess so. It's a heck of a note when your meal floats away from me before you eat it, Sweeney. Yeah, Mr. Bronson.
I tried to crank out the radar antenna. She's stuck.
Well, let me see.
All right.
Stuck, all right. I don't understand it. I greased it good.
Grease? Well, no wonder it's stuck. It's exposed to outer space. It must be frozen solid.
What's the idea, Sweeney? Didn't you read the engineering manual?
Yeah, and a flush fitting gets greased. Don't jump on me.
Well, if we can't get that radar mast cranked out, we can't land on the moon.
Well, it's all right by me.
Don't you realize that half the value of this trip is in the landing? Geological surveys, radiation tests.
Look, General, I told you before I started, this whole thing is slug nutty to me. Who wants the moon? We're trying to be first with the old Brooklyn Battery Tunnel.
Sweeney, this isn't getting that mast fixed. Well, we've got to go outside in spacesuits and chip it loose.
Outside? You mean outside the ship?
You can't fall. You'd be in the same trajectory as the ship. Worst that could happen would be to drift away.
Drift away? Don't bother getting one of them monkey suits for me. I'm comfortable in here.
Sweeney, we've taken enough from you. We can't let one man endanger the whole project. You get out there in a spacesuit, or we shove you out without one.
All right, all right.
Well, that's settled. You got us into this mess, you're going to help get us out. General, break out the spacesuits. Close the interlock. Now, let's get this straight. Keep your magnetic shoes on the hull plates. Your safety line's hooked. If you break loose, we won't be able to go after you. You'll hit the moon at 20,000 miles per hour and squash.
Hey, wait a minute. How come General Thayer don't go?
That's right. He doesn't go. He's co-pilot.
Okay. I just asked.
All right. Now, let's make sure our intercom walkie-talkies are warmed up.
All set. Check.
All right. Fasten helmets.
Hello. Hello, Doc. I hear you, Barnes.
I'm okay.
Check instruments. I'm going to bump out the lock.
Can you two handle it? I want to go aft to see how the firing tubes held up.
All right, Doc. Come on, Sweeney. Let's get to work.
Crazy, you'll float away too.
I can use the pressure in the oxygen tank for a jet. Maybe I can ride the tank.
brake cord's making my helmet bite me. I'll try again.
Hey, it works. I can have one more.
Keep going, Bond. About 30 feet more. 20 levels to the left.
All right. Couple more shots. There. Now, reach out for me, Doc.
You're too far. I can't.
Hang on, Doc. One more shot.
Hang on.
Let's
get back,
Bob. If we don't, we do the universe together. Hang on to me, Doc.
All right.
You wait,
Miss Bonner.
Turn the bell.
You're dripping
lava, Bob. There'd be enough pressure to get us back. Here we go.
Oh, we're moving.
Yes, about fast enough. Pressure's almost down in this tank. There's the last of the gas.
We're too far out, Barnes. They can't reach us with a line.
Get you back to the ship. On the count of three, push the tank as hard as you can. The reaction may shove us in close enough.
Yeah.
Ready? One, two, three.
Here they come, General.
Grab them. Reach out, Bond. Grab the line.
We got it.
All in.
Thank God.
Well, let's have you aboard.
Stand by for landing procedure.
That's pretty rugged country down there.
Stand by to turn ship. Fasten straps. Altitude fair?
27.3.
All right. Turning ship.
Hey. Hey, you're leveling off. You're turning too far. We'll go backwards.
We land backwards. Use the jets for brakes.
Holy smokes. You mean sit down on a tail?
Ground speed, 1.52. Stand by for deceleration. Now.
Fire. Faulting is spotted.
Give me view aft on the screen.
Hey, we can't land down there. Look, mountains, cliffs.
That's the crater Harpalus. We're heading for a smooth plane short of there.
Don't look smooth to me.
I'm going to kill our forward speed. Stand by.
You won't clear the mountain. Give another blast.
I can't. We won't have enough power to get home.
Go make that trip on the right.
Look out. We're going to crash.
Warren, blast. You've got right.
Now, automatic landing. Automatic in. Hang on for emergency landing. Stand by for the blast. Hold it. Now. Stack down. Get out your gyros.
That was a lousy landing.
That sounds safe.
Yes, but I wasted reaction mass we'll need to get home.
We'll worry about that later. Right now, I want to get out there and plant my feet on the moon.
Your suits on the rocks, you're done. And look out for the low gravity. You'll weigh 1/6 what you did on Earth.
All right, let's go.
Hey, what is this stuff? Dust?
Father, rock. Go ahead, Doctor. Claim it officially.
Oh, yes. In the name of the United States of America, I take possession of the planet Moon, of and for the benefit of mankind. Well, let's now get down to business. Sweetie, you set up the astronomical camera.
Bond, what's the matter?
Get back here, all of you, right away.
We're just starting work.
You've got to get back. I've been talking to Earth. We may not get off. We may be stuck on the moon for good.
Hello. Hello, Earth. Reaction mass down to 0.8672. Wasted power in a bad landing. Request new figures for return trip.
That's the lunar. Looks bad, Mr. Blind. I'll have to run it through the machine. In the meantime, dump everything you can. I'll check back with the result.
I'll be standing by. Roger. Out.
Well, Barnes?
Well, we wasted too much power on that lousy landing. Hastings, check the figures. We've got the lightened ship. We've got just 4 hours to get off. If we miss that, we don't get another chance to hit the Earth for another month.
But we don't have more than 10 days' oxygen supply.
Exactly. Come on, we better start dumping, and we better pray we can get rid of enough weight. Acceleration pad 4, serial 706, schedule B, 14 pounds.
Check. Give me a hand, Doc.
Yes.
Airlock's full. I'll put my helmet on and shove the junk out of the lock.
Barnes, is that everything we can get out?
Three of the spacesuits will be dropped before we take off.
How about the fourth?
We'll have to keep that so we can open the airlock to shove the others out.
I've got a removable bridge I could dump.
You may have to, General. Well, Hastings is due back now with the takeoff figures. Hello, hello, Earth. Luna calling Earth.
All right, Mr. Barnes. We hear you. How much weight have you dropped?
4,003 pounds, Earth weight.
Then you're still short 110 pounds.
What?
If you can dump 110 pounds, you can coast home.
Well, we're stripped. We unbolted the locker doors, junked the radar chassis and mounts. We'll have to take a chance as we are.
It's suicide. You haven't enough reaction mass to clear the moon.
You could be wrong, couldn't you?
I could, but not the computer. I'll be standing by, Mr. Barnes. Over.
All right, Hastings. Out. 110 lousy pounds.
What happens if we're not light enough?
We fall back and crash. Or just go into an orbit around the moon.
Just keep going around?
Yeah, that's it. We've got 14 minutes left till takeoff time.
Oh, that's fine. I could have gone over Niagara Falls in a barrel, but I had to come to the moon.
Well, it's pretty simple. 110 pounds, one of us stays.
Yes. I guess that's it.
I weigh 180. That's plenty.
Now, wait a minute, General.
I'm the oldest one here.
Yeah, and I'm the captain of this ship. If anyone stays, I give the orders here. Doc is the engineer. General pilots when you hit the Earth atmosphere.
But, Barnes,
I've got no family, so I stay.
No. You've got to go back, both of you. I've been discredited. They won't listen to me. You've got to tell them what you've seen.
Listen, yes, General.
You've got to tell them what the Earth looked like from here. Vulnerable, defenseless, hanging in the sky. I knew this trip would have military value. Well, it does. Can you imagine atom warheads launched at Earth from up here? The moon is the perfect base for an attack on the Earth. Remember, it's only one-sixth as hard to shoot rockets from here to Earth as it is the other way. You've got to tell them the only government to control the moon must be a world government.
General, I guess you don't know it. But what you just said means you've got to get back to Earth and convince them even if the rest of us don't make it.
Barnes, don't be...
No, General, that's all there is to it.
Listen, Mr. Barnes, General.
Never mind, Sweeney, you're not in
on it. Don't worry, you'll get back.
I was going to say, why don't you heroes match for it? Odd man's out.
All right, Barnes, I'll go for that.
I'm in.
No.
2-1, Barnes.
Well, all right. What do we use?
You can match buttons off your overalls.
All right, each one pull off a button. I better check Hastings on Earth.
Here's my button. Cosgrave.
Hello, Earth.
Standing by, Mr. Barnes.
We're working it out. One of us stays behind.
What?
We're matching for it. Check time.
Well, it's only 110 pounds. Isn't there some...
Check time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt the program Dimension X for just a moment for two important bulletins from the wires of United Press. From Seoul, Korea, the North Korean radio says the North Korean Communist government formally declared war on South Korea effective at 11 a.m. Sunday, Korean time. And then a little later, this bulletin from Washington. State Department officials say they will hold Russia responsible for the North Korean attack against the independent South Korean Republic, which this country and the United Nations brought into being and have supported. We now return to the program Dimension X.
Yes, sir. 9:41:50. 10 minutes to zero hour.
Check. That's all, Hastings. We'll take off with three men. All right. Ready to match?
Hey, what?
The airlock.
Sweeney, he went out. What's he doing?
What? So he's going out. Out there on the moon.
Sheriff, get it? 160 pounds. That's me. I know I'll take off.
Come back, Sweeney.
Not out. I run out the rate for me, and you look out for yourself. Well, maybe you change my mind. I've been looking up there at that earth plane in the sky. We're going to build something out of this moon. All of you guys got to go back. Doc, he's the guy to work it out in the lab. Barnes, you build the ships, and the general, he's got to pound those desks to see that it gets done right. You'll leave me.
No, sweetie, wait a minute. Come
on. Oh, no, Froggy, God, you spoiled my whole day. Come on, hero.
You don't understand. We can take off, all of us.
What do you mean? With 110 pounds.
Now, listen to what I say. Get back in here. On the way, pick up a screwdriver, a red tail file, and an oxygen tank.
What's the deal?
Get back in here. I've got a way to get us all off, if it works.
Sweeney, we're reading you clear on the intercom speaker. You in the airlock yet?
Yeah.
Now, your spacesuit weighs around 70 pounds. The radio weighs 50.
Yeah, but I can't open the outside door of the airlock without my suit. What are you trying to pull, Barnes?
After you chuck the radio out, you file a hole in the gasket on the outer door. Got that? Then you tie your safety line to the oxygen tank, pass it through the hole. It hangs outside. You got that?
Yeah.
Then you close the outside door, get out of your suit, come in here. We close up, decompress, and open the outside door again.
All right, get it. The tank pulls us out into the lock.
Right. And if it works, we all get home. Now, hurry now, Sweeney.
8 minutes to calculate a takeoff time. 8 minutes.
All set, Sweeney?
Yeah, shut the radio off. Close the other door. Air pressure up. I'm getting out of the suit. This doorway's pretty near the Barnes. If the suit don't clear, we're sunk.
We'll have to take that chance.
All right, here I come.
All set.
Close the inner door. Decompress. Now the outer door.
Moving. I can see it through the port.
Coming up 1 minute. 1 minute to take off.
Foot of the suit caught on the intake.
No. It's flattened out. Get clear of that door, brother. Get clear.
There it goes.
We're in.
40 seconds.
Close the outer door, Sweeney. That was the takeoff, everybody.
30 seconds. 20.
Sweeney,
28.
I don't think I could have done that.
26.
Just walk out.
Oh, baloney.
I haven't got that kind of courage.
23.
I'd have had to make a speech. A big heroic speech.
20. 19.
I didn't have the guts 18, to just walk out.
17.
Not
16.
All right, 15, stand by.
14.
Communications?
13, fine. Just 12, Andy.
Co-pilot. 11, automatic set. 10,
9.
Stand by.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Fire.
All right, we're clear.
Son of a gun.
We're clear. We're heading home.
Time. 2:50:36. Destination, Earth.
You have just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of...
Dimension X, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 24th, 1950 on NBC. 2 months later, that story by Robert Heinlein would be produced into a major motion picture, winning an Oscar for Best Special Effects the following year. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now on to X-1 with the story Double Dare, this NBC episode from December 19th, 1957.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire.
horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-X-
Tonight, Double Dare. But first, hear this. How's the weather in your part of the country? How'd you like to spend an evening basking under warm tropic breezes in the sound of a gently rolling surf? Well, that's the setting in which you'll find yourself Friday night as Monitor, broadcasting from spectacular Miami Beach, introduces you to the beauty and glamour of Florida and to the celebrities who make this resort area their winter headquarters. On Saturday and Sunday, Monitor will capture the spirit of Christmas season in music and song as great choirs from all over the country and from foreign lands join in the singing of Yuletide carols. There'll be reports on Christmas preparations in Bethlehem, West Germany, and Antarctica. Alfred Hitchcock, Eartha Kitt, Henry Fonda, and Roberta Sherwood are among the celebrities who will be visiting Monitor this pre-Christmas holiday. So start your weekend right with Monitor on Friday night and stay with Monitor all weekend long for celebrities, music, features, news, and sports over most of these same NBC radio stations. Now, X minus one, and tonight's story, Double Dare. Our ship sat down on the planet Domerang right on schedule. Kermage and I stood at the viewport and watched the big Domerangi official cross the field to our landing ramp. He was dressed in a bright yellow tunic, green-gray buskins, and was wearing a glittering jewel diadem. He was walking in that ponderous way those people always walk. And it seemed like a long time before he actually reached the ramp and climbed into the ship.
Welcome aboard.
Greetings, gentlemen. I see you have come through the trip in fine shape. My name is Plovash. I'm your liaison while you are with us.
My name's Marner. Pleased to meet you.
And I'm Kamrich.
Well, what happens now, Plovash?
You have landed at a spaceport just outside our capital. I have come to take you to your quarters. We are providing you the finest accommodations our planet can offer. We want your working conditions to be of the best.
Glad to hear it.
The actual test will begin as soon as you wish. May I offer you good luck?
Oh, we won't need it. It's not a matter of luck at all. It's brains. Brains and sweat.
Very well. This is what you are here to prove. It ought to be amusing in any case, whatever the outcome may be.
The whole weird deal had begun back on Earth. And it started where most arguments like this start, in a bar. Kemridge and I are top engineers back home, and when this visiting Domerangi made a few cracks about our civilization being second-rate in technology, we made a few choice remarks about his own technology. Well, the thing got to the news agencies and created quite a stir. It finally led to a regular interplanetary controversy over who had the best technical brains, Earthman or Domerangi. So, here we were, Kemridge and I, sitting in an alien hotel room millions of miles from home, staring glumly at the walls.
Well, we're here, Marner, we're here. And we're going to show them up and go home rich and famous. You got that?
Well, I hope we can show them.
Well, we've got to. Between the two of us, we can match anything they throw at us. Well, can't we?
Sure we can.
You know, just look at this door mechanism, for instance. A simple cybernetic mechanism.
Yeah. Ordinary gadget. Not nearly as efficient as our kind, either.
That's just the point. Apparently, these Domerangi aren't half the sharks they think they are. We said we could duplicate anything they showed us, right?
Yeah. And they've got two of their engineers on Earth trying the same stunt.
Okay, so if our boys stick them and we dope out everything they throw at us here, we've won. The State Department's counting on our versatility, Miner. That's all we need. Versatility, cleverness, and hard work.
Yeah, we'll beat those silly-looking pants right off them.
Kemmeridge always did remind me of a football coach talking to his players at halftime. But at the moment, I was glad of it. I needed reassurance, and his own confidence was infectious. I cheered up, and by the next morning, we were ready to begin our part of the test. Florbash came to see us again. Well, good morning, Florbash.
Good morning, gentlemen. According to agreement, we have equipped our most modern laboratory for you. We will give you two preliminary problems. When you have dealt with them, if you can deal with them, we will give you a third problem.
And if we fail on any of them?
Why, then we shall have proved our point.
Fair enough. But suppose we deal with all three, Florbash. How do we win this thing? Do we just go on with your projects until we miss?
Oh, no, no. According to the agreement between our governments, the test is limited to three problems only. The same is true for our team on your planet. We consider that if you do indeed complete all three projects, you will have demonstrated your ability.
I don't like the way you say that. What's up your sleeve?
Sleeve? I do not understand the idiom.
Never mind. Doesn't make any difference anyway. Just let's get started and prove our point.
Yes. I myself am most anxious to observe your attempt.
We return to X minus one and Double Dare in just a moment. Back to X minus one and Double Dare.
The lab that was to be our workshop until we won or lost this contest was a sumptuous place. The sort of research setup a sane engineer never even bothers to dream about. We stood there admiring it, Kemmeridge and I, while Florvash waited for one of us to say something.
Well, we're impressed.
Man. It won't be hard to pull off miracles in a lab like this. You're making it easy for us, Florvash.
We are honest people. If you fail, it cannot be blamed on poor working conditions.
Okay. When do we start?
At once. Observe your first test.
What, that little plastic bottle?
The contents. It is a depilator. A bit rubbed on each cheek, and you do not need shave your beard for a week's time. Here is the bottle. Duplicate the product.
We're engineers, not chemists.
Never mind, Miner, never mind. Okay, Parvash, that's the first project. Give us the second at the same time. That way, we'll each have one to work on.
Two projects at once? Very well, gentlemen, as you wish. The second is a trap for small house pets.
Oh, like our mouse trap, huh?
Oh, I do not know your mouse trap, but this is a most ingenious device. Our house pests are color sensitive, and this trap flashes colors as a lure. To catch vorks, we use this. For flames, we activate this device. And so on. Well, as you can see, it is most versatile. We have supplied you with an ample number of vermin of different sorts. They are in cages there at the rear of the laboratory. I believe you have everything else you need.
You mean this is all?
Duplicate these two products, if you can.
Okay. And we'll let you know the moment we finish.
Yes. Do that.
I didn't like the way he looked when he said that. There was a catch to all this somewhere. But I didn't have time to think about where it might be. Kemmeridge and I went to work on our project at once. It wasn't nearly as hard as it should have been. Within 4 days, we summoned Florvash back to the lab.
Do you mean to say you have finished already?
Naturally. Stay where you are, Florvash. I want to show you something. All right, Kemmeridge, activate the trap.
Check.
All right, stand back. I'm going to open the cages.
Oh, no, don't. Those vermin, they'll be everywhere.
Too late. Here they come.
Oh, but you're mad. Well, they'll be everywhere. Close that door.
Stand where you are and watch. You see? See that?
But this is impossible. All running to the same place.
Our trap. Look at that. They're in. Every last one of them.
Remarkable.
Yeah. We've improved on your model. We've built a better trap. Your model only deals with one species at a time. Ours handles every variety.
It really is rather surprising.
I suppose now you want to know about the depilator.
That was easy, you know. With the equipment you gave us, chemical analysis is a snap. But I'm afraid we've improved on the original model here, too.
You have? In what way?
But used at the proper strength, this depilatory of ours can last indefinitely. The effect seems to be permanent.
Indeed. This is a fairly impressive performance, gentlemen. You may be interested to know that your counterparts on Earth have also passed their first two tests successfully.
Oh, well, good for them. So, it all depends on the third test, then, huh?
It does, indeed. Shall we have that one now?
Why waste time? Is that it? That thing on rollers that you've got covered up back there?
Yes. Permit me to remove that cover.
Ah, a machine of some kind. I recognize a type of piston valve, relays, tubes, rods.
Let me plug it in for you. Here's the outlet. Now, I press the starting button. So.
What does it do?
Suppose you remove the plug from the outlet.
All right.
There.
Hey! It's still going.
Gentlemen, this is our power source. We use it for transportation and similar things. Duplicate it. This is your third problem.
Well, we'll give it a try.
I shall be most interested in the result. Most interested. Good day.
Cheers. Well, Cambridge... the machine's still going.
Yeah, I see. I wonder, can we build a perpetual motion machine?
Well, it was a challenge, all right. A greater challenge than either of us had anticipated in our wildest dreams. Our heads reeled with the enormity of the ideas. But we worked and worked. I don't even know how long it was, but I think it was about 3 weeks. Finally, we summoned Florbosch, and he came into the laboratory to see our model and his side by side, both humming away with no plugs in the wall.
There it is.
You have actually done it.
Yes. Been running a week now, and it shows no signs of slowing down.
It actually works, but how?
A complex hyperspace function. We're making a full report, of course. I hope you realize this is quite a stunt in gravology.
We didn't think we could do it until we had to, so we did.
I didn't think you could do it either. This little box on our model, have you examined it yet?
No. That nearly threw us. Apparently, it's tightly sealed. We didn't waste time getting it open. We bypassed that. What is the darn thing anyway?
That, gentlemen, is our power source.
Your what?
A photoelectric amplifier that should keep the model running for, another 2 weeks. Then?
Then what?
Don't you see? We do not have a perpetual motion machine. We have hoaxed you into inventing one for us.
What?
We didn't really think you could. It took our best minds to rig up a model convincing enough to fool you.
Well, I'll be...
That does it. That invalidates the whole agreement. Well, now that we're through, we'll take our machine and go back to Earth.
I am afraid that is not possible.
What?
By a statute in effect here for more than 700 years, any research done in a government lab is automatically the property of the Domerangi government. I am sorry. But I shall have to confiscate your project, gentlemen.
We'll see about that.
Furthermore, we are forced to confiscate you yourselves. We need you to instruct us on how to build these machines.
Orvash, Earth won't let you pull a trick like that. This is cause for war.
I doubt it. Why should a terrible war come about for the custody of two men?
I demand to see our consul.
Of course. That is your right, I suppose. I will arrange it.
Well, there it was. Now that it was too late, I knew what the cause of my uneasy feeling was. The consul from Earth was a white-haired, sturdy gentleman with a ruddy face and a suave manner. He came to see us in our hotel room that same evening.
Now, please, rest assured we shall make every effort to extricate you. Do you realize what immense scientific prestige you've given to Earth?
Fat lot of good that does us now.
Well, authorities on Earth have kept me informed on the progress of the two Domorangi. They got through the first two projects as easily as you two did.
We already know that. What of it?
Well, now, this is the delicate part of the whole affair. I hate to put it into words, but in fact, the people on the Earth end of this deal had much the same idea as the Domorangi.
You mean another double cross? They put them to work on perpetual motion, too?
No, not quite. They rigged up a phony anti-gravity machine and told them to duplicate it.
Good night. What happened?
Nothing yet. I'm told they're working on it very hard. Sooner or later, if they're at all as clever as you two, perhaps they'll hit on it. You'll just have to be patient and sweat it out until they do, and we can make an even exchange.
Well, of all the cockeyed situations, you mean we have to wait until they invent anti-gravity?
Now, that's the general idea. In the meanwhile, as I say, I will insist that you be shown every courtesy here on Domrang.
Well, they may never discover a workable anti-gravity. Then what happens to us?
Wait a minute. Yeah? Marner.
Yeah?
You know anything about tensor applications and gravitational fields?
What are you driving at?
I'm thinking of the ideal lab setup they gave us. Do you think those two Domorangi on Earth would mind taking credit for someone else's anti-gravity theory if they were approached properly?
Gee, that's right. They must be as anxious to get home as we are.
Say, what in the world are you talking about?
Consul, would you be above a bit of smuggling, diplomatic immunity and all that?
Well, no, I don't know.
We build the anti-gravity machine. You smuggle it to Earth and slip it to the Domorangi, then use it as a talking point for a trade. What do you say?
Well, I admit, it does seem the only way out. Very well, gentlemen, I'll do my very best. But there seems to be just one hitch.
What's that?
You still have to invent that anti-gravity machine.
Oh, we'll invent it, all right, because you see, we have to. Come on, Cambridge, let's get to work.
Collins again. I'll have another word about X minus one in just a moment.
Is your head buzzing with the feverish, stuffed up feeling of a cold? Here's how to get relief.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Million more take bromoquinine.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Bromoquinine.
More people have taken more bromoquinine cold tablets for more complete relief than any other cold tablet ever sold. Because bromoquinine is the only cold tablet sold with wonder-working quinine, nature's own miracle drug, and five other medicines, health-fortified with vitamin C. Science has never found a real substitute for quinine. It helps bromoquinine do more. Bromoquinine works to relieve stopped-up nose, body aches, fever, irregularity, blues, and headache, even a virus cold. Remember,
every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Million more take bromoquinine.
Get bromoquinine brand cold tablets.
You have just heard X minus one, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine. Galaxy Magazine science editor Willie Lay discusses medical problems of space travel in the current issue of Galaxy. Read Willie Lay's article as well as the many thought-provoking stories similar to tonight's tale of fiction based on facts of the future.
Galaxy Magazine, on your newsstand today. Tonight, X-1 has brought you Double Dare, a story from the pages of Galaxy, written by Robert Silverberg and adapted for radio by William Welch. Featured in our cast were Ralph Camargo as Marner, Ivor Francis as Cambridge, Michael Ingram as Florvash, and Harvey Hayes as the Consul. This is Fred Collins speaking.
X-1 on Tuned to Yesterday from December 19th, 1957 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.